Bible reading this evening is taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 56. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Rachel, thank you so much for reading. Good evening. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much that we can meet tonight to hear you speak to us. We pray that you would provide us comfort from your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This year's M&S Christmas advert opens with Olivia Colman saying, "Cor, what a year. Let's try to make Christmas a little brighter, shall we?" And then yesterday happened. I don't know how you felt yesterday. I was pretty gutted by the news. We went to the supermarket to do our shopping. We thought, hey, it's going to be a small shop because we're flying over to Northern Ireland in a few days. And then I got a message saying, oh, Boris is making an announcement today. I thought, uh-oh. And then watched it, and obviously it hit us like a ton of bricks. And obviously, yeah, we're gutted. That we're no longer, Rachel and I are no longer going to be able to see our family this Christmas, and we're devastated. And we know many of you are feeling the same way. It feels like Christmas has been cancelled, and that's what we're seeing everywhere. We're seeing that on the newspapers, aren't we? And the Mail on Sunday said today, "Oh, will this nightmare ever end?" We might be thinking, is this really the season to be jolly? It feels like it's been reduced to the season to be jolly careful, as Boris recently put it. But despite what's happened, I want us to see this evening that Christmas still is the season to be, if not jolly, then joyful. I want us to see why, despite the crazy year we've had and the restrictions that have been put in place, we can still have joy this Christmas. Why is it that we can still be joyful this Christmas? We find the answer in Mary's song. Listen to the words she sings after finding out that she's going to give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. She says in verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Why is Mary praising God? Her delight doesn't merely stem from the fact that she's going to have a baby. It stems from the fact that the baby who is in her womb is the Holy One, the Son of God, as the angel had revealed to her in verse 35. And notice what God's sending of his Son into the world teaches us about him. Notice how Mary describes him in verse 46. my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why is Mary so jubilant? She realizes that God is going to bring salvation through her son. So she rejoices and calls him her Savior. Now, in what way would Mary experience God's salvation? The one she would experience is the same one that we can. It is a son who would later go on to die on a cross so that everyone, including her, could have the opportunity to have all of their sins forgiven. That is, that they could have all of the evil and wrongdoing that they had committed against God and against other people totally forgiven. So what does it mean for God to be Mary's Savior? It means that he rescues her from the penalty or punishment that her personal sin deserves. Mary was a sinner, just like you and me. Yet she received God's salvation, so she called God her Savior. And so can we. If we've acknowledged our need for salvation and are relying on the salvation that God provides through his Son, whom he sent into the world, we can call God our Savior. What a privilege. Christmas is all about God sending his Son into the world to rescue it. Here for a change is some comforting news. We have a God who is a Savior. And this leads to the question, why is God offering salvation? Why is God offering salvation? The answer is, he's doing it because of his mercy. God is the Savior who shows mercy. I don't know if you've seen the Coca-Cola Christmas advert this year. I particularly enjoyed it. At the end of the advert, it says, "This Christmas, give something only you can give. This Christmas, give something only you can give." When God sent his Son into the world over 2,000 years ago, what was he doing? He was giving something only he could give. John 3:16, which is probably the most famous verse in the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God gave what only he could give, his Son. He gave the world his Son so that we could have eternal life, salvation, if we will trust in him. God gave what only he could give, and this was a demonstration of his mercy to us. Twice in our passage, Mary refers to God's mercy when she praises him. Look with me at one of those occasions in verse 54. Mary says, "God has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." God's sending of his Son into the world is the fulfillment of promises that God, in his mercy, had made to people centuries earlier. God had said to Abraham in Genesis 17 that kings of peoples would come from the line of his son Israel. And now Mary, an Israelite, is going to give birth to one who is not just a king, but the King of Kings. In Genesis 12, God had told Abraham that through him all the peoples on the earth would be blessed. Now in Luke, we see that it is from the Son whom Mary will bear that blessing will come. this blessing had been promised long ago, and now it is being fulfilled. And this blessing, this salvation, is all owing to God's mercy. So is it any wonder that Mary praises God? Her salvation depends completely on his mercy. And not only hers, but ours also. God offers us salvation not because we are deserving of it, but precisely because we are not deserving of it. He shows us mercy. As I said earlier, we are all guilty of evil and wrongdoing. So we don't deserve salvation. I recently watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. In it, there's a little girl who's worried that Father Christmas might not give her a gift. So her uncle seeks to appease her by saying, "If you've been good all year round, Santa will bring you something. If you've been good all year round, Santa will bring you something." Imagine for a second that God were like Santa. If he were, we would have no hope of salvation. Santa says that you have to be good to be rewarded. God says that none of us has been good, and so he can't reward us. Instead, he needs to show us mercy. Friends, we might be able to put in a good front to others and even lead them to believe that we're really rather nice people. And relatively speaking, we may be. But we can't do that with God. He's aware of all of our actions and even of our innermost thoughts and desires, as we see there in verse 51. When we consider all of these, none of us would ever be able to pretend before God that we're actually good. So we need his mercy. He's the Savior who shows mercy. But notice who his mercy is for. Verse 50, Mary says, "His mercy extends to those who fear him." Who can receive God's merciful salvation? Anyone who will fear him. Now, what does it mean to fear God? It means to acknowledge that as our Creator, God has the right to judge us for the sins we've committed against him and against other people. Let me say that again. It means to acknowledge that as our Creator, he has the right to judge us for the sins that we've committed against him and against other people. I wonder if fearing God might be a bit like the feeling someone has when they're in court facing charges that they know they're guilty of. The defendant rightly fears the judge in that situation. And it is that fear that causes them to long for mercy. You see, when we acknowledge that we're guilty and deserve God's judgment, that is when we will seek his mercy. You will only ever ask for someone's mercy if you fear them, won't you? So fearing God is essential, it's necessary in order to receive his mercy. But what does fearing God look like in practice? It's a story a bit further on in Luke's gospel about a blind beggar who comes to Jesus, and he shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people try to shut him up, but he just shouts louder and louder. He goes, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He knows, I need this man's mercy. I'm not going to shut up until I get it. And Jesus heals the man. He says to him, "Your faith has healed you. What does it look like to fear God? It looks like asking Jesus, the one whom God sent into the world to save us, for mercy. When we ask him for mercy, we are showing that we have faith in him, just like that blind beggar did. And when we do that, we receive his salvation. If you've never asked God for his mercy, might I encourage you to consider doing that today? If you do, you can receive it. You can partake in the salvation that God offers us in his Son. If you don't think you need God's mercy, why not look at how God tells us we ought to live our lives in the Bible and see how you measure up to that. And then take a good look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself if you think you have measured up. If you think you have measured up, then I suggest you look a bit more closely again at how God requires us to live our lives. If you already are someone who's relying on God for his mercy, doesn't his salvation give cause for joy this Christmas? Yes, even this Christmas. So many of us are feeling deflated after yesterday's announcement. In some ways, it feels like Christmas has been canceled. Tonight's passage tells us that it hasn't. There is cause to be joyful this Christmas. We have a God who is merciful. We have a God who delights in being our Savior. And so we have a God whom we can rejoice in. Where's the proof for all of this? God sent his Son into the world over 2,000 years ago. Friends, how wonderful it is that God shows mercy to us who fear him, even though we don't deserve it in the slightest. No wonder Mary says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The pandemic may have changed Christmas this year, but it hasn't changed this. God is a Savior who shows mercy to those who fear him. Nothing, not even a pandemic, can take away God's merciful salvation from us. The reason for the season is the same this year as it was last year, as it was 10 years ago, and as it was in a stable in Bethlehem over 2 millennia ago. Oh, how I wish that our stripped down Christmas would cause us to focus on Christ this year more than ever before, and that that would lead to great rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, we know that from God's word that the Lord works all things for the good of those who love him. This Christmas might not be the one we'd expected or the one we had wanted, but God thinks it is the one we need. And oh, how we would rejoice in the Savior for his mercy. Without his mercy, where would we be? We'd still be carrying all our guilt and shame. We'd be facing an eternity away from God, separated from God. But with his mercy, we have forgiveness. We are free. We have a relationship with our Lord. I would like to close by reading something from the very well-known 19th century preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He wrote concerning God's mercy. It's in one of his, it's in his devotional, Morning and Evening. It's one of the prayers. I'm basically going to read the whole thing to you because it's that good. I think it really is worth reading. And I was really encouraged by it. And it's on the topic of mercy, so why not? Here's what he says. With gentle, loving touch, God healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He is as gracious in the manner of his mercy as in the matter of it. It is great mercy. There is nothing little in God. His mercy is like himself. It is infinite. You cannot measure it. His mercy is so great that it forgives great sins to great sinners after great lengths of time, and then gives great favors and great privileges and raises us up to great enjoyments in the great heaven of the great God. It is undeserved mercy, as indeed all true mercy must be. For deserved mercy is only a misnomer for justice. There was no right on the sinner's part to the kind consideration of the Most High. Had the rebel been doomed at once to eternal fire, he would have richly merited the doom. And if delivered from wrath, sovereign love alone has found a cause, for there was none in the sinner himself. It is rich mercy. Some things are great but have little efficacy in them, but this mercy is a cordial to your drooping spirits, a golden ointment to your bleeding wounds, a heavenly bandage to your broken bones, a royal chariot for your weary feet, a bosom of love for your trembling heart. It is manifold mercy. As Bunyan says, all the flowers in God's garden are double. There is no single mercy. You may think you have but one mercy, but you shall find it to be a whole cluster of mercies. It is abounding mercy. Millions have received it, yet far from its being exhausted, it is as fresh, as full, and as free as ever. And finally, it is unfailing mercy. It will never leave thee. If mercy be thy friend, mercy will be with thee in temptation to keep thee from yielding, with thee in trouble to prevent thee from sinking, with thee living to be the light and life of thy countenance, and with thee dying to be the joy of thy soul when earthly comfort is ebbing fast. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy towards us. Father, we do not deserve it. And so we sing with Mary, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Father, give us a fresh joy in the salvation that you have given to us, your merciful salvation to us sinners this Christmas. May we rejoice in the Son you sent to rescue us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to sing our final song, Tell Out My Soul.